Well, here we are, the first ever episode of the Grove Street Journal. I'm very happy to have you along on this journey into all things cannabis. My name is Francis Hall, and I'll be your host as we meet people from all walks of life that all have this plant in common: cannabis. The music is by Circa State. You can check out more of Circa State's music on their SoundCloud, the link for which is below. My guest today is Cy Dignam, who runs the Hampshire Cannabis Community. We sat down and had an informal chat about the community, legalisation, and we touch on some upcoming cannabis awareness events in the UK that you can get involved in. So without any further waffling, let's get into it. So thank you very much for taking the trip up today here in London to come and talk about Hampshire Cannabis Community.
That's right, thanks for having me.
No, anytime. So can you give me a bit of background? What is Hampshire Cannabis Community?
Well, it started off as an activist group sort of about 5 years ago. But over the years, it's sort of gone out into like an actual community. And that's what we're trying to do now, is build a community. We've got 150 paid members. They only pay £10. It's for a lifetime membership. They get a membership card and a few stickers. They can go on the forum on the website. So, you know, get to meet like-minded people. So that's what we do. We're just getting out there to teach, you know, to teach people about everything about cannabis, whether it's the medical side, the recreational side, to lose the stigma of it. We are just one big community, so...
Brilliant. Okay. So 150 members today.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
You can count me in as well. I'll have to sign up for that, by the way.
Yeah.
So 151 now.
That's cool.
So how long has this been running, this community?
5 years now. I've been running it for about 4.5 years.
Okay. So it wasn't you that started it?
No, it was Clark French. He is the founder of United Patients Alliance, but he started it in 2013. And sort of passed it on to me, because that was how I got into it, was into the activism, was by meeting Clark French.
Okay.
And I mean, before that, I was just a normal stoner. I've been smoking cannabis for 30 years.
Okay, yeah.
And up to sort of 5 years ago, I was the stereotypical stoner. I mean, as you can see, I've got long hair. I am, you know.
You're painting a picture. I can imagine you with a surfboard tucked under your arm, like the
not quite, but
the image of cool that I've never been able to achieve.
No, but so I met Clark French 5 years ago and started talking to him, and he's an MS patient. Now, he went from in a wheelchair using sort of 30 pharmaceutical drugs a day to being out of a wheelchair and knocked nearly all of his pharmaceuticals on the head just through using cannabis. So that sort of, you know, caught my attention, started sort of something sparking in my head. And then I started looking into it. I started going to events, meetups, meeting more sort of medical people. And the passion just grew in me. It was amazing. And, you know, as the years and years go on, even my sort of outlook at stoners has changed. Because, like I say, I am the stereotypical looking stoner, long hair and all that. And that was what I thought stoners were all about, sort of 5 years ago. But now it's not. That's so old-fashioned. We need to sort of, you know, knock that on the head. Stoners aren't, like, they don't all look like me.
Yeah, I think they can come in kind of any guise and any form. I think that something that accentuates the stereotype of this is the fact that it is illegal, right? So I think you have a lot of responsible professionals that use it just in the same way someone may enjoy a glass of wine after work.
Yeah.
But because of the stigma attached with it, because of the legality of it, they can't actually go out there and be like, yeah, guys, I'm a stoner as well, but I don't look like one.
I completely understand that. I mean, I'd say over half of my members are medical users. You wouldn't look at them and think they were stoners. You know, they're just normal, everyday working people.
Yeah.
So there is no stigma anymore. It's just, you know, if you were born pre-80s, it's stuck in your mind, that's all it is. It will change.
Yeah. And so Clark kind of founded this, and then you've stepped up and taken the mantle to kind of running things now.
Well, because he was going on to the UPA, and he saw that I was interested in it, he sort of offered it to me. So... yeah, I took it.
Brilliant.
I knew it was going to be a big life change for me, because, you know, I'm quite a shy person, always have been. I wouldn't say boo to a goose, but when the passion actually gets you, you know, you think, oh, let's just do it. You've got to get it out there. So, yeah.
Oh, that's the best. You know you're doing something right when you're feeling that passion in life.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
So
yeah,
that's brilliant to hear. So what does a kind of typical day look like for you running this then at the minute?
Well, every day starts off with the gym.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, that's most stoners sort of think you wake and bake, wake up, joint in the mouth. No, I'll get up, I'll go to the gym first. Then I'll come home, look at the news, Google cannabis news, see what's new that day, post that on my social media sites. And then, well, just, you know, I'll post loads of news everywhere, sort of, you know, keeping it all going. Message my members, do sort of a few shout-outs every month to them, tell them the new news that's coming up. The main thing I'm trying to do at the moment is trying to find a venue, which is an absolute nightmare. We had one last year for 5 months where all my members would come and meet, we'd have a smoke indoors, breaking the law, as you do. But that came to an end after 5 months, and trying to find a new one, I mean, you know, if you're a drinker, you can go and meet your friends in a pub. If any other thing, you know, if you like sex, you can go to an orgy and meet like-minded people. But if you smoke cannabis, you can't. And it's wrong. It really is wrong. We can't. It's, you know, I understand how in the 1920s, drinkers in the Prohibition age sort of felt when they were meeting in little sort of basement pubs. That's what we're doing now, just so we can sit there and have a smoke together. It's mad.
It is, yeah. And it's never hurt anyone.
No.
Well, I say directly hurt anyone. I mean, I'm sure it's caused some hurt indirectly. And for me, that is purely a consequence of the war on drugs and making it illegal and forcing that whole business ecosystem to be underground and run by criminals and gangs as opposed to entrepreneurs and legitimate business owners, right? So
yeah, I mean, the market is massive now. I've never seen it so big with social media, Instagram and Facebook.
It's absolutely rampant, isn't it?
It is massive.
I don't think it's ever been easier to go out and get something.
No,
than
I mean,
it is today.
When I was young, you had to know someone that knew someone, and then you'd go to a street corner and you'd give them their money, and you don't do that anymore. You just go on Instagram. And it's so easy.
Yeah.
It really is.
So, I mean, that is testament to the fact that the war on drugs was a total and utter failure.
Yeah.
So what's the response to that, you know?
Legalise.
Exactly. I mean, we've seen lots of case studies around North America, for example, the legalisation there. There's so many reasons for the government to want to consider it.
Well, there is. I mean, it is getting to a point where it is sort of getting dangerous because you don't know what you're buying. I mean, last time I bought on the street was probably 3 years ago. I mean, I grow myself now, happy to admit it. But at least I know what I'm smoking. I know what chemicals or not are put into those plants. But there's a lot of, I think they're called PRGs, PGRs. I'm not too sure, actually. But they're like the chemicals they're using, nutrients they're using these days. They are really dangerous. And they're puffing the cannabis up so they're like really big, dense buds. But that's not a natural bud. And that those chemicals are really dangerous, and that's why it needs to be legalised, so it can all be regulated and you know exactly what you're smoking.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Totally agree. You know, that is a big problem with the illicit trade. I mean, just this morning, actually, I was watching a documentary from Stacey Dooley. She goes around the world and deals with these kind of topics. And they were looking at they were in Canada, in Vancouver, looking at MDMA use. And people that had died from taking that, it wasn't the fact that they'd taken MDMA. It was the fact they didn't know what they were getting. They didn't test the substance themselves, because let's be honest, most people don't. They, you know, they're going to go and get it before they go out partying or whatever and just want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
They have no idea what they're putting into their bodies. And often it's coming people that don't particularly have strong ethics, unfortunately. And so there can be some real nasty stuff in there.
Yeah, because a lot of these drugs aren't. They're not actually dangerous in the drug form themselves, are they? So
yeah,
it's just you don't know what's in it. You really don't.
Exactly. Yeah. And another kind of slight, perhaps a misconception, maybe not, I'd be interested to hear your opinion on. When we talk about medicinal marijuana, what do you think of?
I think all cannabis. Marijuana is not a word I ever use, is cannabis. but no, it's all medicinal. I mean, what is a medicinal act? You go to a doctor and he can say, go and have a holiday, you know, relax. Yeah. So that is medicinal, just relaxing. So if cannabis makes you relax, that is medicinal, in my eyes anyway. It's all medicinal. There's no, you know, even in the cannabis community, there is a big divide between the recreational and the medical. And that is splitting sort of the activism groups, but there shouldn't be. It's one thing. Most people think a stoner, you smoke it just to get high. I mean, I grow my own, so I've got a choice of the strength of THC that I actually grow. And instead of growing sort of 24% THC, 23%, I'll pick a plant that's got sort of 10% THC, but an equal dose of CBD as well. You know, so that's where I call it medical, because I'm not going just to get really high.
Yeah.
With the CBD, that's not psychoactive, and it's just a relaxant. It is a good medicine. Absolutely. Even though you can't sell CBD as a medicine, it's a food supplement.
Yes, yeah. So that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So is it the MHRA?
Yeah.
And the Cannabis Trade Association, you know, they've been working with the CBD companies, haven't they? To ensure that what they're selling, they're not allowed to attribute any sort of medicinal benefit or value to it whatsoever.
No, it's not coming from the pharmaceuticals, is it? So
yeah.
You know, we can't claim that it's medical. Yeah, but try and find out. That's the best way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. So it's about people empowering themselves with information. But again, this can be a bit of a minefield, right? I mean, I see tremendous amounts of misinformation on both sides of the field, to be fair.
Yeah.
You've got the people that say that cannabis is evil and it's worse than heroin and, you know, one spliff. I was actually reading up earlier when it first became illegal, out in the States, and I think California was the first state to make it illegal, actually. Funnily enough, given recent events with them legalizing it. But they put out a headline in 1933 in the Los Angeles Examiner, and it said, "Murder weed found up and down the coast. Deadly marijuana dope plant ready for harvest that means enslavement of California children."
It's just scaremongering.
What kind of bollocks is that?
Yeah.
Putting it in the same boat with, you know, child slavery. It's just a plant that grows in the ground naturally. Yeah.
There is. There's no downsides, is there? I mean, it's not for everyone. You know, I'm definitely not one of these activists that, yeah, cannabis is for everyone. There's no dangers to it at all. Of course there is. There's dangers to everything. But everything's okay in moderation.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And you have got, there's hundreds of strains out there. So for your medical condition, you need to find the right strain, which a dispensary would do for you. So, you know.
And are you an indica or a sativa?
I'm an indica man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I find sativas, especially the high THC sativas, give me sort of anxiety and a bit of panic attacks.
Yeah.
And that's another reason I won't smoke anyone else's cannabis. Because, it's not... You can't go, you know, smoking it your whole life with... And if you're smoking the wrong strains, you will have some repercussions, I think. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, you need choice.
Yeah.
You know, every argument points to legalization. Doesn't matter what argument, how bad it is, still points to legalization.
Totally. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Eliminate the black market.
Yeah.
And provide transparency and accountability in what the actual product is.
Yeah.
What it helps with.
That's right.
It would surely make research a lot easier as well.
Especially for the pharmaceutical side of it, you know, because there is a lot of testing that needs doing, which they're not allowed to do in the country at the moment, apparently. But I think we need to legalise it recreational first, and I think that will solve most of the problems anyway. I mean, even Pat off EastEnders. I don't know if you saw that Gone to Pop programme, but even she said at the end of that, recreational should be first for adults. You know, we all, as an adult, we should be able to do what we want, really, as long as it's not hurting anybody else. A lot of, you know, testing needs doing to say what strain of cannabis is actually good for which, you know, treatment. So.
That's a really interesting point. In my mind, I'd always thought, surely it makes sense to do it medicinally first and then people will see that it's safe and it's used in these capacities and it will slowly trickle through. But when I think about it, and from what you've just said, I kind of agree with your approach. I think that it makes sense and it would take away that level of fear that... Yeah. People have about it because they don't understand about it and they've been fed countless amounts of propaganda and media over the years, that I think that would be a really nice approach. And as you say, doing the research, it takes quite a long time to do as well. So
it does. Yeah. I mean, but there's so many people actually using cannabis already for medical. So if it's working, why stop? Yeah, I mean, I've got a few cancer patients that I do make oil for. I don't shout about it usually, but... one of them was stage 4 terminal cancer and she had a scan a couple of weeks ago and it stopped growing, the tumour.
Wow.
So whether that is the oil I'm giving her or not, who knows, but something's happening for her.
Mm.
So, and, you know, I don't charge her. I'll give it all to her free. If it works, it works. If it doesn't...
That's amazing.
It's a gamble for her, but she's taking it and, fingers crossed, touch wood, so far it is working. So.
That's so good to hear.
Yeah, and that keeps me going.
Yeah.
It really does keep me going.
I can see you're getting fired up now.
Yeah,
as you,
for that, I'll stand up in court for that. Do I'll grow weed and I'll make oil for cancer patients. Yes, I'll put my hands up to that. So,
for you.
Proud
good
of
for
it.
You. Yeah, no, you should be. Yeah. I mean, what we know, you know, for fact is that whether it helps with the tumours or not, and there is some preliminary studies that show that it does have anti-growth properties, you know, on certain types of tumours, but we're a long way off knowing about that conclusively. So it seems suggestive that it certainly will have a role to play in that. But on the other side of things, what we definitely know it helps with is the quality of life of the patient, right?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, one thing we don't say anymore is that cannabis cures cancer, because that is a big statement to make.
Yeah.
It can help treat it.
Yeah.
It can be part of your medication, whether it's running alongside chemo just for the nausea or... You know, it should be part of it, or a choice.
And that's critical, I think, for people like us. You know, we want to see this plant legalized and used to help people and used recreationally. Those blanket statements that, you know, cannabis kills cancer, they do more harm than good for us. So I see, look, when I see people put these memes out or these kind of social media icons saying, you know, that it does... I'm not very popular because I'm always that guy that says, come on, like, you know, this is it's very suggestive and positive, but we need to do more research. But, you know, so it looks promising, but we can't quite say it yet. Hopefully one day.
Yeah, I mean, we can't say it at the moment, but because there is no side effects with the cannabis oil, you might sleep a lot or fancy a pizza, but there's no bad side effects, so you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I know, touch wood, I hope I don't ever, but if I've got cancer, the oil would be my first call, definitely.
Yeah, I'm mine. I mean, some of these other treatments that they take you through, whether they work or not, I have no idea. Thankfully, I've, you know, again, touch wood, never been in that position, but they do wreck your body, I think. And
chemo's
it's essentially
proved to...
radiation poisoning, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's not a nice illness to have. So how do your patients kind of find you? Is it through word of mouth primarily, or?
Well, I try not to sort of get too many because I can't grow enough to give enough out. The patients I've got at the moment are actually, they're my members. They join the community first, then I got to meet them and found out their conditions and, you know, said I'd help. So, but I get so many people messaging the club every day, you know, can you get this for me, can you get that? And I can't. I can't. To none of them, I can't say, yeah, I'll get it for you, because it's against the law.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to be careful myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to go around shouting, I can make you oil. So, you know.
Yeah, sounds like you're taking a sensible...
Yeah,
but
you've got
a passionate approach to it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'll stand up in court, but I don't want to. I won't push that fact. You know, like, come and get me.
But it's I see a lot of other communities around different parts of the country, which is, you know, it's fantastic. You know, it's this band of brothers all uniting to try and
it's massive,
right or wrong, and yeah. And along their way, that I think that they seem to be helping a lot of people that genuinely use this substance to improve their quality.
There are
life.
Quite a few compassion clubs around the country now that actually are making oil for a lot of people. It's illegal health, we call it. But we are helping.
And what's kind of your growing technique? Do you go for the hydroponic route, or is it
soil? I have now. I've gone through everything.
Yeah.
I've started with soil, then organic soil, then cocoa, and now I'm on hydroponics now. So yeah, it's looking really good as well.
Brilliant.
I'm impressed with it.
Nice.
It can go wrong in sort of a matter of a day if you don't keep your eye on it, but
really,
it's looking okay so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's looking fine.
I'm fascinated by all the kind of horticulture side of it.
Yeah.
And you know, I have a few friends out in Canada who have their own growing facilities, all completely legit and legal, and it's just amazing to go and walk through there and be able to look at the latest technology that they're using to really produce some unbelievably
high-quality plants.
Yeah.
You know, breed my own seeds and all sorts, but obviously I can't in this country.
Hopefully one day we will be able to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Canadian. What I'm doing in this country, I don't know.
Are you Canadian?
I've got a citizenship. I've never actually been there. But
Wow.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that's definitely on my bucket list to
definitely
go and see what's going on out there.
Yeah, let's get over there. I'm out there this summer, actually.
Are you really?
I go out most years. It's
nice.
It's a great country.
Yeah, we'll get out there one day.
Yeah. Very liberal stance on cannabis, you know.
Like, yeah.
Obviously, they're making it legal now and they're going through that process, but they've always been incredibly lenient with it. And it shows. People are chilled out. People are polite. People are happy. It's a good quality of life.
It's like we were back in the 70s, apparently. That's what I've heard. Canada's like the old Britain.
Unfortunately, it was before my time, but that would have been fantastic. Yeah, that would have been good. So what sort of activities? I know, I think you've got a few events, have you, coming up for the Hampshire cannabis community?
Yeah, we have our yearly awareness day in Portsmouth. This will be our fifth in Portsmouth this year, but it'll be our sixth because there was one in Basingstoke on the first year. We have that every year, which is getting busier. It was just over 100 people turned up last year, and I'm hoping for a lot more. We've seemed to get a lot more people asking about it this year, so I think it's going to be a good one.
Brilliant. Okay, and why should people come down to this? Where is it, by the way?
It's in Portsmouth on Eastney Beach.
Eastney Beach.
Yeah, it's a lovely beach, so it's a nice sunny day. It's just for like-minded people, for, you know, one day where we can all just get together and chill out. It's, you know, we have a little raffle. It's just a good, fun day. We have the news down there for a, you know, the pub, you got a bit of publicity, haven't you? So, but no, we have fun. It's a good day.
Brilliant. Okay.
Yeah. And we also do other things throughout the year. sort of wherever we can stick a gazebo, really. If we can find a field, we'll stick it there and come on.
Brilliant.
Come
down. So people that are interested in coming to your events and getting signed up to them and hearing about these things, what's the best way for them to do that?
Probably the best way is we have got a Facebook page, which is Hampshire CC on Facebook, or go to our website, which is www.hampshirecanna.co.uk, and you can subscribe on there, or you can buy a membership. It's, you know, either way, you'll still get newsletters for all updated events.
Fantastic. Yeah, and I'm just looking at the flyer that you've got now for it. So 14th of July, 1 p.m.
Yeah,
and I see a lot of logos of people. So you've got, you know, the United Patients Alliance, you've got the Tottenham Compassion Club that you mentioned earlier. I see there. So you're at the Hampshire Cannabis Community, of course, West Sussex Cannabis Collective, you've got Basingstoke. Stay Danky. Like that. Yeah. That's good. We've got Ice Smoke coming, Canna Coffee House, Urbanistic, of course, which is me. It's my other project, and Grey Street Journal. Hopefully we can come write some more, to give you some more coverage around that event.
We'll that would
certainly be there.
Down.
Really looking forward to it. Yeah, that'd be great.
That's cool.
And there's another event next month, isn't there?
In Parliament. United Patients Alliance, it's a second reading with Paul Flynn to change the schedule of cannabis. So we were up there last year, and it's, like I say, it's a second reading. So we'll all be up there. All the clubs that are on that leaflet should all be at Parliament that day. So if you can get up, 23rd of February.
23rd of Feb, I'll be there.
And I think Paul, it's about 12 Flynn, o'clock.
He's
an MP.
And he is pro-legalisation, I take it.
Yeah, there's quite a few MPs on side now with the UPA. So it's definitely getting there.
It's not
just a bunch of stoners now saying we want it legal. There's MPs, there's some big people out there that want it, want it legal.
That's really good. Yeah. I mean, what do you think is turning these, you know, persuading these people to start looking at this?
Partly because of what's going on around the world, I think. I mean, you can't be blind to what's happening in Spain, America, Portugal, you know, everywhere else. So I think that is slowly making it happen. But I don't think the country's got much of a choice. And at the end of the day, they've got to do it. I mean, I think the only people that are going to get hurt by legalisation of cannabis is the pharmaceutical companies. Now, we all know the pharmaceutical companies have got the government by the nuptials. They really have. If it wasn't for that, it would be legal already. The government will make billions out of this yearly, absolutely billions. The pharmaceuticals will lose billions. So, you know, when they've sorted out their little argument, I think they'll legalise it.
Experimenting a few years ago, making some brownies, and we always made the mistake of the brownies tasted too good. And we had one, waited for about an hour or so. Not really feeling this. But it was a good brownie. It's good brownie. I'm gonna have another brownie. I ate a second brownie, and then it was just kind of waves of being stoned. You know, you get a wave would come on, you'd be like, I'm stoned.
Yeah.
And then another wave would come like half an hour later, and you'd be like, whoa, okay, now this must be the plateau. But it's not.
No.
And it just keeps on building and building. I don't think I moved from the sofa in about 8 hours. You know, and that really put me off edibles for a long time.
Yeah.
Until when I was last in Canada and we got some THC honey. And we're putting that into our tea. Just a kind of little spoonful of this honey into the tea. Oh, it was just absolutely beautiful. It just, you know, it gives you a really nice warm feeling in your body, and you're just very relaxed, very chilled out.
It's different high completely, isn't it?
It is. Edibles. It really is.
It's a body high rather than a head sort of high.
Yeah, but that honey, that was some good stuff there. Yeah, that was some really nice stuff.
It must be nice to be able to try stuff like that. That's actually legal and.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like a little kid going into a toy shop when you walk into one of those dispensaries, and it just feels odd. Like, okay, I'm in a shop, and here's the bud tender, and we can have a really awesome conversation about what strains would be best, what kind of stuff I like, whether I like to feel relaxed or whether I want something that helps with anxiety, whether I want something that's going to get me to help to sleep.
It must be nice to be able to talk to somebody that knows, that's trained, you know, to actually tell you what you need rather than just guessing. And,
absolutely. Yeah. It's a whole different ball game, but it's amazing. Hopefully something that we have to look forward to.
Yeah.
I really hope.
In my lifetime, hopefully.
I think that it seems to be picking up a lot of momentum. Even in the last few years, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people start to change their opinion about it.
Oh, it has changed.
It's in the media a lot more for actually the right reasons now, I think.
It is. I mean, I do a lot of street work, you know, just get out on the streets, because I think Facebook's okay, but not everyone's on Facebook. So get out on the streets and sort of talk to the real people. Now, 4 or 5 years ago, people were turning their nose up at me, walking away. But now people are sort of seeing my flag and they're coming over to me saying, oh, what's this all about? You know, we saw the CBD on telly. Because I said to my missus 5 years ago, I said, the day that something about positive about cannabis is on mainstream TV is the turning point. Now, last year it's been all over the telly, and that Gone to Pot, that was mainstream and positive. It couldn't have been any more positive.
Yeah.
So I think this year is a big year. Something's going to happen this year.
Yeah, I hope so.
I have to keep thinking that to keep me going.
All we can do is what we are doing, right? Trying to spread awareness, trying to educate the public about the massive, massive benefits that legalization would have for this country in terms of health, in terms of our, you know, economic well-being, in terms of the tax and revenue that it's going to bring in, reduce crime rates. And it really is a no-brainer, I think.
It is, definitely, yeah. And the government must know this.
Yeah.
They're not silly.
Yeah.
Are they?
So the question is,
are they?
I don't think so.
No, but they know how much money it could bring in. Yeah. I don't know what's stopping them. You know, I really don't. It's got to be the pharmaceuticals. It's the only thing I can think of.
Mm.
But
and what would be the kind of barrier for them? I guess it comes down to, can they patent it, and can they, I guess it's got to go through a whole load of trials and...
Well, I think GW Pharmaceuticals have got the patent for THC, or a patent for something to do with cannabis, I read somewhere.
Really? I think, and actually we're currently working on a journal for Grove Street Journal that we're going to be putting out in the next few weeks that touches on this, because I think that back in perhaps the 90s, maybe even the 80s, I think GW Pharmaceuticals did get some sort of permit from the government to develop a sort of strain of cannabis. I don't know whether this was some sort of synthetic version of it.
I don't know, because they've got, there's medicines out there, aren't there, by GW.
I think it's called Sativex.
There's Sativex and Bedrocan.
Right.
Sativex is just a cannabis oil, really. It's made of alcohol, as far as I know.
Right.
It is a four extracts. I think it's a Jack Herer, the strain.
Okay.
I think.
Nice. Yeah.
But yeah, they've been growing it for years. England are the biggest growers of cannabis, and probably not the world, but Europe definitely. You know, I mean, we sell Sativex. If you live in Wales, you can get it on the NHS. If you don't, you have to pay £250 a bottle for it. But how can they sell it on the NHS and then say, well, cannabis has no medical benefits? Mm. Well, obviously it has, because you're selling it.
And that's what they say, right? When they've classed it as an illegal drug, that's what they're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
it's a Schedule 1 drug, which means it has no medical benefits. That's what is a Schedule 1 drug. So
it's just crazy.
Yeah, but nobody knows about GW Pharmaceuticals and Sativex, and people just don't know about it.
Yeah.
Even people with MS, which is what it's made for, you know, they don't get told about it. It's...
So, I mean, you'll have first-hand experience of this. You mentioned, you know, some of your patients have MS. Were they ever offered this? Or,
they don't get offered it at all. They can go to the doctor and ask for it, but if you live in England, you won't get it unless you're private. You can't get it on prescription, so... No, things need to change there.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I think Bedrocan, that might be the Jack Herer, actually. That one's, it's just a bud of weed.
Really?
Yeah, it's a bud. It comes in a little plastic pot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's...
I'm surprised that they'd give it to you in the bud form. I mean, my thought of the pharmaceutical world would be, they'd never, you know, you'd never get a fat bag of nice, you know, sticky buds that smell amazing, and it would be something that's very clinical and, you know, like a spray or a pill, sort of. I mean, if it does the trick, then that's good.
I mean, I've seen photos of Bedrocan, but I've never actually seen it in real life. But it is out there.
So. All right. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So it seems like they are perhaps experimenting with things.
Yeah, they are. I mean, GW are a massive company. You can even look at their stocks on the stock market. They're shooting up.
Yeah.
So big things are happening behind the scenes, I think.
Yeah. I mean, cannabis stocks in general as well. You know, I think that's one to watch out for the future. I think there's going to be massive growth in this.
Yeah, buy some stocks in Mike Tyson. He's buying a big farm out there, isn't he, also?
Yeah, I've seen that. Is he building up his own facility?
Yeah, he's going to grow it and sell it. Why not?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, I'm all for all this involvement because the more it just gets into the public and it normalizes it more.
Yeah.
People are scared of things that they don't know or they haven't seen or they don't understand. So the more it does get publicized, hopefully there's less fear around it and we can move to a more sensible version of this world we live in.
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of crime as well that comes with the black market of cannabis and there's no need for it.
Yeah.
There really isn't. You know, I mean, there is violence that comes with it and all sorts just because it's a black market.
Exactly, and that's not the cannabis's fault. That's the fact that there's money behind it because it's only they're making money and that's what they're trying to protect and that's where the violence is coming from, right?
That's right.
If they can go into their local shop and pick up their bag of weed, then you've eliminated all of the demand.
Yeah,
for these, you know, the black market products, pretty much all in one fell swoop.
It would be so easy to wipe out, wouldn't
it? I mean, sure, they're still going to sell other things. You know, there's still going to be crime. There's still going to be violence and all this stuff.
There'd always be a black market.
Exactly.
It's not going.
Yeah. But this is going to take a lot of money out of their pockets, put it into the pockets of the government.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Yeah. If there's people listening to this out there that want to help or be involved in some way and they're passionate about it like we are, you know, what would your advice be to them and how can they help this cause?
There's so many groups on the internet you can join now. It's not only ours, there's over 100 clubs in the country, so there will be one near you. So either join a club, if there isn't one, make your own. Get onto the United Kingdom Cannabis Social Clubs and they'll give you everything you need to start your own club, all the information you need. Just get involved. It's the best way. You know, everyone you meet, tell them. Take a leaflet with you. That's what I've always got, leaflets in my pocket. If somebody wants to know about cannabis, there you go. Whether it's recreational, I've got one for recreational, medical. I've got everyone's leaflets. So brilliant. I've always got information for people.
It seems like it's quite a close-knit family between these communities as well. And everyone that I've personally met so far has, just been so kind, so giving, so respectful that it seems like a really nice, inclusive, friendly community to be part of.
Yeah. I mean, I've been going to events around Europe and Morocco, everywhere. I've never seen any trouble. There's been like 10,000 stoners stood there and there's never any trouble.
No.
Yeah, you can bump into someone, knock your drink on them and it doesn't matter. Yeah.
And then you won't get that with thousands of people going together to drink booze, will you?
No.
I hate to knock the booze. I feel like we do it a lot from our...
Yeah. Oh, each their own. I'll knock anything. But, I mean, we had an event in a pub once and it was jam-packed. And, like, everyone's smoking weed. There was hardly anyone drinking. And even the landlord said if it was that busy and everyone was drinking, there would have been trouble.
Yeah.
But there wasn't. It was a brilliant atmosphere.
There we go.
Stoners are nice people.
On the whole, yeah. I think they are. All right, brilliant. So thank you very much for your time. I think we're about maxed out here.
Yeah.
So thank you, Walter, for listening. If you want to find out more, go over to the Hampshire Cannabis website.
hampshirecanna.co.uk.
Okay. Yeah, brilliant. Sign up for the event in Portsmouth on the 14th of July at 1 p.m. I think you can sign up via Facebook for that.
Yeah, there's an event page on Facebook.
Okay, fantastic, and make sure you sign our newsletter on Grey Street Journal for more exclusive cannabis content, and make sure you tweet us your thoughts on cannabis legalization. If you want to get involved, drop us a line. We're always happy to hear from you. Just search Grey Street Journal or official_GSJ. All right, thank you. Stay lifted, y'all.